I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to read with us a lengthy passage of Scripture, Genesis chapter 4. And again, we'll all get settled in. And remember, while you're finding that Scripture, if you have to slip out, let's make it an emergency. And then, ushers, you kind of watch so that when people come back in, they don't interrupt the entire service working their way back to a seat. Genesis chapter 4. I want you to find verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Stand for me, if you would, please. Let's stand out of respect to the Word of God. And I'm going to read 15 verses here. Now, stay with me. I want you to see a story, and then we'll be referring to these verses throughout the Scripture. Genesis chapter 4, starting with verse number 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." If you look back at me this morning, I'm going to use this scripture to help us to learn a lesson. The sermon is called "The Characteristics of a Bum." The characteristics of a bum. Let me pray. Father, bless us. Give me the attention of the people. Holy Spirit of God, do something spectacular on the inside of our hearts today. Change me. Change us from the inside out. Might we learn from the Scripture the right way to live our lives, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a seat, if you would, let me tell you a little story. The other day, I was picking up something, actually for our youth department, and I had reason to go into the new store they call Ollie's. And some of you, how many of you know where the new Ollie's is at? All right. I was in at Ollie's, and there was a little commotion out front, and I was watching just a little bit of it and trying not to put my nose in where it didn't belong, but it got more and more interesting. And what had happened, there was, I guess we would call them a street person, or at one point in life you might have called them a bum or whatever you wanted to call them. They were out front, and they had maybe created a little commotion out front. Then they came inside and they asked for the manager, and the manager came over and met them, and then the street person was talking so loud, and you could hear it all across the store, and not because I was listening in, but. But this street person said to the manager, "I see you're in need of someone to gather the carts out of the parking lot, so that you know your people coming in have carts." And the manager said, "No, we don't." And the street person said, "Well, yes, you do, because nobody can find any carts out there." And the street person said, "Well, I can be hired. I can do that for you." Well, the manager is trying to get this guy out of the store, and the guy is being very, very insistent. And about that time, a car pulled up, had little lights on top of it, had men with fine uniforms on and everything, shiny things hanging on them. And so the police officer showed up, and they began to talk to the street person. And I just watched that happen. And what was odd about it is that earlier in the day, when I got up to read my Bible, I had read this story from Genesis chapter 4. Now, I'm going to point something out to you. In Genesis chapter 4, it is said of Cain, and I'll retell you a little bit of the story in a moment, but it is said of Cain that because of Cain's misbehavior, that Cain would be called a fugitive and a vagabond. I looked up that word vagabond. That word vagabond means a wanderer, a tramp. It uses the term in the dictionary, a wandering gypsy, or a rascal, good-for-nothing kind of a person. We might use the terminology today, a street person or a homeless person. The term bum used to be a word that we would use, that person's a bum. But I had read just earlier in the day about how Cain was called a vagabond. Now, the word vagabond would probably be, biblically, about as close as we're going to find to our word bum, or that homeless street person. And it was just interesting to me that I had been studying the story about how Cain messes himself up to the point that he's called a vagabond in the Bible. And then I had this experience where this bum was down at Ollie's, and so you know, I have compassion on people like that. I wasn't mad at the guy at all, but it just fit into the story quite well. Now, if you'll listen to me, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, God created the heaven and the earth. In verse 26 and 27, God created Adam, and in verse 22, God created Eve. Verse 22 in chapter 2, God created Eve. God created Cain in Genesis 4:1, and then you see Abel comes along immediately right after that. Now, Cain and Abel, these were the children of Adam and Eve, and we both know that Cain and Abel, they had the same opportunities in life. Both had a good father, both had a good mother. If you think back, Cain and Abel grew up in a what we might call a society where there wasn't a whole lot of temptation. You know, there wasn't liberalism at that time, and Hollywood wasn't there at that time, and there were no false Bibles at that time, and there was not all these whacked out religions and everything at that time. Cain had the same parents that Abel had. But Cain, and then remember this, Cain and Abel, their parents, they had dreams for Cain, and they had dreams for Abel. Cain rebelled against his parents, and they were good parents, and this was a good environment, but he chose to do the wrong thing. And what happened? Cain breaks his mom's heart. Cain breaks his dad's heart. Cain hurts his brother Abel. And at the same time, Cain also hurts himself. And Cain rises up and kills Abel. Now, this brings me to the thought of the day. Cain kills his brother Abel. As a result of it, in Genesis 4:14, it says, Cain said, I am going to be a vagabond. He's labeled as a bum. Now, the title of my sermon, what are the characteristics of a bum spiritually? You know, you see that street person out there, or that bum, or that vagabond, or that homeless person. You look at that and you say to yourself, "Oh my, that's not some way place I want to end up being." You say, "I don't want my son to end up being a bum like that. I don't want my daughter to end up being a bum like that. I don't want to be like that." Well, did you know that whatever caused Cain to end up in that situation is exactly how you and I could end up in that situation? And if you'll listen to me for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about what are the characteristics. What did Cain do to find himself labeled in the Bible, really, as the first bum? He was the first bum in the Bible. And if I could figure out what put Cain into that situation, I could warn you, and I could warn me, that I would not be guilty of the same. And you know, there's two ways of looking at this. I may be warning you not to turn into a, what we'd call physically, a bum. I don't want to see you out there living out of the garbage cans of life, hiding underneath a cardboard box, trying to keep the cool of the morning off of you. But wait a minute. I don't want you to end up being a spiritual bum. I think worse than being physically that way, I think being spiritually that way, always the spiritual is of greater importance than the physical. It's always that way. But let's see if we can very simply figure out what are the characteristics that were present in the life of Cain that caused him to be called the first bum in the Bible. Well, let's get started. First of all, he was disobedient. He was disobedient. In Genesis chapter 4, verse number 2, and we read earlier, God commanded that Cain and Abel bring to God a blood sacrifice. That pictured Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, Abel brought a blood sacrifice. He had flocks, and Abel said, "Sure, God, you want me to bring a sacrifice picturing the coming of Jesus? I'll bring you a sacrifice of one of my animals," which meant that animal would shed blood. Cain said, "I'm going to do it my own way." Cain said, "Well, I've got a garden out here, and God wanted a blood sacrifice, but I'll give God the sacrifice I choose to give God." So Cain gathered up. Maybe he got some of his carrots, and maybe he got some of his potatoes. I'm not sure. Maybe he got some tomatoes in there. But he gathered up of the fruit of the ground, what he had planted, where no blood, and he brought it to God. And so Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He wanted to do his own thing. And the Bible says in Genesis 4 or 5 that God had no respect for Cain and his disobedience. And let me tell you something. I have no respect for those that teach a bloodless salvation. When people try to teach you that you can work your way to heaven, that is the worst doctrine ever created. That is vile. That is bad. I mean, you can't get a worse doctrine than teaching people anything other than Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. I mean, that's a big deal. Now, and God said, "I don't have any respect for your wrong sacrifice," or that disobedience. Disobedience, though, folks, was one of the steps in the process of Cain being called a bum or being called a vagabond. Folks, let me tell you something. And I'm not here just to, I believe this. I think you children, you ought to obey your mom and dad. I think you ought to obey in school. You ought to obey your Sunday school teacher. And boys and girls, and I know a lot of the kids are in children's church right now, but there are teenagers in here. And those of you that live in the home of your parents, you're to obey your mom and dad. And you're to obey God. But I'm not just talking to the children right now. I'm talking to everybody in here. The predominant group that are under the sound of my voice right now are grown adults. And let me say to every grown adult in here, you're to obey God. And you say, "Well, I'm not a bum." You're a bum if you don't obey God. You're on your way to being a bum. You're to do it God's way. You're to do what God wants you to do. Hey, do you obey God? Do you obey His Word? Do you obey His Spirit? Do you obey the preaching of His Word? I've had the privilege of preaching in a lot of different settings. I got to preach for many years. Have any of you ever heard of the Pacific Garden Mission up in Chicago, Illinois? I've preached up there many times. They have a division that's called the Gospel League Home for Women. The Pacific Garden Mission would have both some men and women, but their ladies' department was the Gospel League Home for Women. I used to go up there and preach all the time. Billy Sunday, the Unshackled Program, the Pacific Garden Mission. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you all something. I preached at a lot of missions. I preached at a lot of places where your street people or your what you'd call the vagabond. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but what we would call a bum. I've been there. I've been around them. I've been down to the camps where they live, where they pitch tents and have communities of people that are on the street and they don't work. Let me tell you something. I've never known a bum that was known for obedience. Never met one. Never met one. Everybody say, "That guy right there, he just obeys everything." No, you don't end up being a bum and obey all the time. If you want to be a bum, just disobey. You want to be a spiritual bum, you just disobey the Scripture. Say, I'm not a bum. You better be careful, because the truth of the matter is you might look pretty good on the outside, but if on the inside you're disobedient to God, you are practicing one of the characteristics that got Cain labeled as the very first vagabond. We are to obey God, ultimately. We're to obey the Scripture. And so, may I say, one of the first characteristics that I see that caused Cain to be called a vagabond in the earth, our modern day term bum, it was disobedience. God said, Cain, you do this. And Cain said, I'll do it my way. Folks, we're to do it God's way. We're to do it God's way. Secondly, I see here that Cain, the second characteristic, Cain had a bad temper. He had a bad temper. Now, there's a good handful of you in here that we've spent some time together, and I'll never tell anybody who, unless you make me mad, but I'll never tell anybody who. But we've talked about this thing of the temper. Let me tell you something. Cain, in the Scripture, is known for having a temper problem. In Genesis 4:5, the Bible says Cain was very wroth. That word wroth is talking about his anger. It's talking about his uncontrolled temper. And in verse number 6, it says he was very wroth. He was mad. God, you could use all the excuses that you want, but it's very clear Cain was mad. Cain was wroth. Cain was out of control. You say, how bad out of control? I'll tell you how bad out of control. He went out and killed his own brother. Let me tell you something. If you don't get your temper under control, you'll hurt somebody. Yeah, and you'll destroy yourself. Cain destroyed himself. Look what Cain did to himself. But I want you to understand this vagabond label that's put on Cain. He gets it because, number one, he's disobedient. Number two, he's got a temper problem, and that temper gets the best of him. He was mad. Well, what happened? Well, he was mad because a lot of different reasons here. He was mad because God corrected him. He was mad for whatever reason. You pick your reason. Why does your temper get out of control? Why do you rage? But I'm just here to tell you, one of the ingredients for making Cain into a bum is that Cain couldn't control his temper. Now, you young ladies, let me teach you something. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. Now, ladies, you unmarried girls, you look up here at your preacher. If you're dating a boy that's got rage problems, the Bible says that you should, so you all know, before you get married, you ought to be friends. And if I were you, if you were dating a boy or you liked a boy that had anger issues, you ought not be becoming a good enough friend that you'd marry him. You say, why? He'll beat you someday. And you men, you ought to keep your hands off your wife. I don't know of any man in here that would dare harm his wife, but if you do, you're little. You're little. Man ought to keep his hands off of his wife. But what I'm here to tell you is this. The Bible says that Cain ends up getting labeled as a bum. What happened? Well, Cain was disobedient. And not only was Cain disobedient, then Cain has an anger issue. He's not doing what God told him to do, and now his anger's out of control. And if nothing else, the Bible teaches very, very clearly that you ought to control your anger. And if you don't, that's a disobedience to the Scripture. Let me tell you something. You young men, you teenage boys that are unmarried, you want to be careful marrying a woman that's got anger issues. You know, Proverbs 25:24 says, you'd be better off living on a housetop by yourself than in a home with an angry woman. You guys like that, don't you? Hey, and I ought to tell you all, folks, every one of us need to realize something, especially those of you that have children and family living in your home. Knock it off and stop acting like a bunch of animals in front of your kids. Christians are not supposed to be like that. You have your kids believing it's all a big joke. And believe this, well, we go down to the church and we smile and tell everybody you love each other, and at home you act like a bunch of animals, being mean and rude and crude and harmful toward one another. That's not how Christians are supposed to live. Are you a bum at home? You act like a bum at home? You temper out of control? Now, the Bible teaches us that Cain ends up getting labeled a bum. He's a vagabond in the earth. What happened? He disobeyed. Disobedience puts you on the path to being a bum. Then what happened? He had a temper problem that was out of control. You young people, you better learn to control your temper. You say, well, I'm mad at my brother. You better be careful. Cain killed his brother Abel. And I'll tell you, there are all sorts of stories out there about brothers and sisters that get angry. And then they hurt each other to the point where brothers and sisters have actually killed one another. Cain wasn't the only one. And I want to tell you something. We are all a part of the family of God, and we ought not be treating each other that way. It shouldn't be among the brethren that we're that way. It should not be in your home that it's that way. Brothers and sisters shouldn't be fighting to the point of hitting each other and being mean to each other. And husbands shouldn't hit wives. And by the way, in this day and age, wives shouldn't hit husbands, and the brethren shouldn't be fist fighting in the parking lot. Christians don't live that way. Christians don't live that way. But if you live that way, you're not a Christian at that moment. That's just all there is to it. So Cain had a temper problem. And if you're not careful, you start out and you justify it because of what caused it. But nowhere does God justify your anger on the basis of what caused it. It's you that's out of control and your emotions. But if you're not careful, you end up with angry with God next. We get angry with God. And there are people that have turned on God. I was I was preaching at the Pacific Garden Mission, and there was a group of young ladies at that time. I was vice president at Bible College, and a group of young ladies from the college had gone to the Pacific Garden Mission, and they were going to sing. And the mission just be packed full of men off the streets. And I'm talking about men that lived under bridges and in cardboard boxes. They'd come in, and at the big mission there, they'd come in and get food and get some socks. And sometimes they'd put them up where they could sleep. But they had to come to the preaching service. And one particular night, I was the preacher that was going to preach. And there must have been, 600-700 men in a big auditorium. And we had a group of young college-age single ladies that came. Just like the group that you heard sing earlier, they came up on the platform and they began to sing. Well, I was sitting off to the side, and the one that was the host of the service was off to the other side. These young ladies got up and began to sing. And these street people, I just couldn't believe. I couldn't believe the way they were acting. These men started kind of rubbing on themselves in a very, very inappropriate fashion when those girls got up there to sing. They started making cat calls and whistling at those girls. Now, we're in a church service now. And these people start doing that. I'm going to tell you something. It made me very, very angry. When I finally got up and the girls got out of the road, I just said to everybody in the auditorium, I said, before I preach a sermon, I'll make something very clear. In my presence, men do not disrespect women like that. Men do not treat women like that. Men are not mean to women like that. And you don't do that in my presence. And I said, I'll make it very, very clear. I will defend the honor of a woman. And these guys, they were kind of snickering a little bit. And so I raised the volume just a little bit. Every once in a while, I can get loud, pointed, and aggressive in my preaching. Don't let it scare you. I do it to keep your attention. But I'll do that. I'll do that. Here's what I did not know. And then I'll be honest, some of these guys are still laughing and joking. So my sermon that was kind of a level 5 in intensity, when I got to preaching it, it immediately went to a level 10. I was shucking the ever-loving corn. I was preaching and I was letting them know exactly what I thought about the whole thing. And I preached a sermon, and I mean, we cleaned their ever-loving spiritual clocks. They knew there was blood to the horse's bridle that morning. I let it be known that's not how you treat people. Here's what I didn't know. When I got done, the guy that was hosting, he ushered me over to a little room. He said, preacher, he said, first of all, I told you not to be slamming your hand on the pulpit. Of course, I do this all the time. I'd done for God. I beat the snot out of their pulpit that morning. And see, the microphone was in the pulpit. I'd been beating that thing. He said, I should have told you that you've been on the loudspeaker in Upstate Street here in Chicago. Your voice has been traveling. He said, there is a crowd out front and they're not happy with you right now. He said, my men, these were bouncers. He said, my men will walk you safely to your car. We'll clear the crowd to get you to the street so you can go home. My preaching gets me in trouble sometimes. They were irate at me. They were irate. You want to know why? I stood for what was right. Now listen, I want you to understand, there's a right and a wrong way to do everything. But Cain, he disobeyed. He let his rage get out of control. Now he's called a vagabond. Let me tell you this. The Bible says then, his countenance was fallen. In Genesis 4:5 it says, and his countenance fell. What was the countenance? The countenance was the expression on his face. His face showed on the outside the attitude problem he had on the inside. Parents, you're familiar. Your child can be obeying with their body, but disobedience is all over their face. Hey, and listen, I would rather they obey in body than not, but I think we're to obey in body on the inside and on the outside. But you say, well, what was it? Well, it was probably the rolling of the eyes and sneering and that cold, hateful look. That's present. The countenance fell. What brought it on? The countenance fell. Disobedience came. The emotions were out of control. The rage. Now, that which is on the inside has worked its way out. And though there was some outer obedience where you sat in church, all you got to do is look at your face and you know there's something wrong in your spirit. And I wish you could all stand up here and look out there and see the faces. It's just amazing. You ever heard a parent say, wipe that look off your face? Well, when we get on our kids, it's not only do what I say, but do it with a good attitude. My parents helped me adjust my attitude more than one time growing up. I'll tell you what, I thank God for it. Your Heavenly Father, some of you better be careful. You're acting like a spiritual bum. You disobey God. You let your emotions get out of control. It's obvious on your face that you might be doing on the outside, making yourself look good to God and God's people, but on the inside, you're not right with God. And God said, I don't want just your outward obedience to fake out the brethren. I want your internal obedience where it is real. Hey, and let me tell you, go ahead and fake us out. I'm not asking you to give up the fake job, but why don't you just make the outside match the inside and make sure the inside is right with God? My mom would say to me, don't look at me with that tone. And you know something? She didn't have to tell me what she was talking about. I knew exactly what my mom was saying. You would be surprised how much people can read on your face. For some, could I tell you something? If you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, could you do God a favor and us a favor and tell your face? Because we think you're half dead. We think you're miserable. We think you're lost and on your way to hell. Because that look on your face looked like you done seen the Undertaker and you don't have any hope. If you die with that look on your face, I'm going to have a hard time telling everybody at your funeral, don't let the face fool you. He was saved. When that rigor mortis or whatever that stuff is locks in, you're going to be a sorry, Charlie. I'll tell you something, and not to hurt you, not to offend you. It's not real hard when what you do with your life is help people and you read faces and you read attitudes. It's not real hard when you watch somebody walk in the back door. You walk in here and we're all singing about heaven and you won't sing a word. And if you do sing, you won't smile and you have no use for anybody. You walk in, you plunker down. It's almost like everybody stay away from me. I'm saved, but I can't stand the Christian life. I can't stand God. I can't stand any of this. I know why I'm here. Let me tell you something. It shows on your face when you act that way. So what are you trying to tell me? You having a hard time figuring that out? God said Cain is labeled as a vagabond. What is that? It's acting like a bum. Spiritual bum. It's disobedience. Then it's emotion out of control. This one happened to be rage. Then you read it on the face. Then let me show you the next thing. According to Genesis 4:8, it says Cain rose up against Abel and slew him. Now, out to hurt. Cain killed Abel. Killed his own brother. Do you mind hurting people? You men, you want to hurt your wife? Do you say things to hurt because you're being spiteful, hateful, abusive? Hey, and the only kind of abuse, folks, is not when somebody balls up their fists and hits somebody. Cain didn't mind hurting people. I have spent my life, trying to keep people from hurting each other. The truth of the matter is, it's a funny thing, I'm in black and white today. Really, what I need to wear as a pastor is black and white with stripes. So I look like an official at a big game to a bunch of hateful people in society that just, you're like the referee. Knock it off over there. Set the bench. You can't hurt people like that. Put them back on the field. The next thing you know, they're trying to hurt somebody else. I'll tell you something. That is not what the Christian life is supposed to be like. And I'm not supposed to be a referee that goes around keeping husbands from shooting wives and wives from cussing husbands and people demanding and hurting little brother and little sister. And did you know something? You're not supposed to live that way. Say, what am I acting like, a vagabond? Cain went down in history for being the first bum. He didn't mind hurting others. He went out and he hurt his brother Abel. Now, do you understand who else he hurt? He was so out of control. He hurt his brother. Now, do you think that hurt God? You think that hurt his mom? Think that hurt his dad? Did he hurt himself? But at the moment, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. So, he didn't mind hurting other people. You know, a spiritual bum, they don't mind if they hurt other people. Let me tell you something. In this case, which is kind of an odd thing, he went after his brother Abel when his brother was a good guy. And let me tell you all something. I'm not for, you know, in the public school, and not just in the public school, but even in society, there are bullies. They just bully you around. Husbands, you shouldn't be a bully with your wife. And wives, you're not supposed to bully your husband. And even those of you that have children, there's a right and a wrong way to correct your children. But, you know, I've been in churches where there are bullies in the church. Look this way. I've been in all sorts of churches. Everybody just look right this way. I've been in all sorts of places. I've been in churches where they're bullies. They almost threaten you and try to intimidate you. God's not for that. That's not Christian behavior. You ever get around street people or bums? It's a little scary. It's a little scary. Let me ask you something. Are there people who fear you because you're hateful, violent, vicious, mean? And some of you, you'd like to say, well, I just believe the truth of God. Well, I've got news for you. There's a way to believe the truth of God without having everybody around you petrified of your nasty behavior. And by the way, you give God a bad name when you act like that. You give God a bad name. The one you stand to hurt most is God. What happens? Well, we're taught how to act, and then we disobey the way we're to act. It affects us emotionally. In this case, the rage came out. It's written all over the face. There might be internal obedience or disobedience, but I'm sorry, the body's obeying, but it's obvious on the face it's not happening. Then we get to the point where we don't mind hurting. Let me go on, and it won't take long. We'll run out of characteristics here, and it's a little quiet in here, and I feel a little alone right now, so... He didn't mind hurting others. He is also a liar. In Genesis 4:9 says, God asked Cain, said, where's Abel? You know what Cain said? I don't know. Not my turn to watch him. He knew where he was. He knew what he had done. And he was slick. He was slick. Now, I wonder if he really thought that he could lie to God and get away with it. But he did somehow. Now, folks, be careful. The more you lie, the more you become like a spiritual bum. The more you become like Cain. You lie to others. Lie to yourself. I was at rescue mission in Martinsburg, West Virginia one day, and I'd preached a sermon. A guy came over to talk to me for a second. I said, hey, what's your name? He told me his name. I walked away. A guy that ran the mission came over and said, that's not his name. He lied to you about his name. So I went over and I said to him, I said, hey, is your name thus and so? He said, no, I lied to him about my name. But the name I gave you is not really my name, but here's my name. So now I've been given three names for one guy. And I don't know why. You know, I don't work with the IRS or anything. I wasn't trying to, you know, get taxes out of the guy. He's just a liar. And you know what? When you're acting like a bum, you just can't seem to tell the truth. It was twisted in his thinking. But wait a minute. Do you say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to tell you a bold-faced lie. Well, let me ask you this. Do you lie in your lifestyle?
I believe so strongly the convictions of this Bible.
Well, I'd like to see your internet. I'd like to see what kind of trash is on your telephone.
I just believe the Bible. I love God so much. I've got all these big, high, strong beliefs and convictions.
Yeah, that we can see. That last time I hit the pulpit really hurt my hand. Brother, don't worry, we're not hitting the pulpit anymore today. You didn't lie with your lips, but you're lying with your life. Say, what are we getting at here? Well, Cain was disobedient, knew what to do, wasn't doing the right thing in his Christian behavior, couldn't control his emotions. It was written all over his face. There was outward obedience, but you could tell it wasn't real. He didn't mind hurting others. He could lie with his life and it did not bother him. But it's wrong. You know, he was mad at God. Mad enough at Abel, he's going to do something to him. But Cain? Me? Responsible? What? And which brings me to the next point. He wouldn't take responsibility for his own wrong. He said, am I my brother's keeper? So, well, what do I have to do with my brother? Well, sucker, you just killed him. You know, he wanted to be responsible for his wrong. And let me tell you something. Did you know that some of your problems might be something you brought on? If he's not going to take responsibility for his wrong, then whose fault is it for his wrong? I beat my wife because of what she did. You think that you being unkind to your wife is justified because she did something? You know, you're supposed to be a good Christian no matter what your wife does. We taught our children at very young age, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, you're to do the right thing. Blame everybody. It's got to be somebody's fault. And we live in the day and age where it's got to be everybody else's fault. Folks, let me tell you something. If I don't live right, that's my fault. And if you don't live right, that's your fault. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but if I lose my temper at my wife, that's not her fault. That's my fault. If I'm bitter, let me explain something to you. If I'm bitter, and there are people in this room, you are bitter. You can't swallow that pill, but you're bitter. Bitterness is your choice. There are people who have been through the same thing that you went through in life, and they're not bitter. They're happy, joyous Christians. Bitterness is a choice. So I'm bitter because of my dad. No, you're not. You're bitter because you've allowed yourself to be bitter. Now, if your dad sinned against you, that's wrong, and it shouldn't have happened. Could you be reaping what you have sown in life? And then you know what he did? He complained about his punishment. Because in Genesis 4:13, he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I've never met anybody that goes out and gets themselves in a mess and creates all sorts of havoc that like to be spanked for it. I'm finished, but let me tell you this. You know what the result was? According to Genesis 4:12, he said, well, when I go to get things from the ground won't bear fruit for me. So let me tell you something. If you develop like Cain did with this behavior of being a bum, what behavior? Disobedience, not controlling your emotions, the fallen countenance, then hurting people and not being bothered by it, lying about what you are and who you are, then you won't take responsibility for your own wrong. You'll complain about your punishment, maybe where you're reaping what you have sown. Then God said, I'm not going to bless you if you're going to act like that. Cain even knew it. Cain said, you know, the fruit of the ground, it's not going to yield for me. And then he said, you know what's going to happen? He said, when everybody finds out, and God marked Cain, people knew that Cain had killed his brother, first murderer, first bum. He said, nobody's going to want to be around me. Can I tell you what's going to happen? What's going to happen to you? You live the life of a bum, a spiritual bum. You're not going to have the blessing of God on your life, and then people aren't going to want to be around you. Cain said, nobody's going to want to be around me. I'm a marked man. Can I warn all of you? If you want to go through the process and you want to be a spiritual bum, you just do what the scripture just explained happened to Cain. You won't have blessing in your life. People aren't going to want to be around you. And some of you say, what's wrong with all these people? No, it might be that if there are a whole bunch of people who just can't stand to be around you, it's because of the way you act and the way you treat people. And not everybody's going to walk up to you and say, you can see it all over your face. You're a jerk. They don't say that. You know what they do? They go, oh. You say, what's the answer? You get mad at the preacher because he preached a sermon that dug real deep into your heart, that revealed you, that where the Holy Spirit convicts you. Just get mad at him. Attack him. That'd be a good idea. Or you could say, Lord, there's some characteristics there that I see in my life. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a spiritual bum. These are the characteristics of the first bum. I want to be careful. And you know something? Every one of those I need. I need to be careful of those things. And I'm sure if you'd take a moment and search your heart, you probably do too. Kind of crazy. The girls got up and sang such a beautiful Christmas song, and then I get up and preach a sermon like this. You're thinking, boy, how'd that thing take that wild turn? But that's just the way it worked out this morning. We're gonna have a time of altar call. There are people that you need to take a moment and pray and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be like that. Help yourself. And you know who? And to be honest, I feel terrible. The devil got the best of Cain. And it's a terrible thing what Cain allowed to happen to himself. Don't allow yourself to be like that. It'll hurt you. You'll feel friendless. You'll feel like there's not blessing on your life. I don't want that for you. I love the people in this room. I want God's best for you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Who here would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I don't even know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. Would you pray for me, preacher?" If you'll raise your hand, I will pray for you. If you're not saved, I'd love to see you get born again. Who here would say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Who here would say, "Pastor, I have asked Jesus into my heart. I'm a born again Christian, and I'm not ashamed of it." Would you raise your hand? Let God see your hand. Say, I've asked Jesus to save me. You may put your hand down. If you're not saved, if you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Who here would say, "Preacher, boy, these characteristics, I can see, I need to work a little bit on some of those. There might be some things I need to work on in my life from the story of Cain. And God spoke into my heart. There's some things I'll work on because of what I've learned from the Bible today." Would you raise your hand and say, "Yeah, I need some of that, sure." And we all need some of that. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Once she does, we'll stand to our feet. If you want to be saved, you come and just let me know, just in the slightest way, you just let me know. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But if you're a Christian and you say, "Boy, I need to work on some things. Maybe you heard something in Sunday school you need to work on." If you want a moment at the altar, you'll be welcome to come. It won't take long, I promise you. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Are you disobedient in your Christian life? Maybe you ought to come and talk to the Lord about it. Do you have some anger problems? You need to get some of that temper under control. Maybe you need to come. Have you got the joy of the Lord on your face? Maybe you need a moment at the altar. Do you mind hurting people? Is your attitude, "Well, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to take care of old number one." That'll always hurt you. That's not the Christian life. Are you lying? So I'm not telling any lies with my mouth, but how about your life? Is your life, are you being real? Are you a true Christian? Are you behaving like a Christian ought to behave? Is it always somebody else's fault? Is everything everybody else's fault? Can you take personal responsibility for what you have done wrong? If you're not careful, Genesis 4:12, you'll till the ground and it won't bring forth fruit. If you're not careful, "Everyone that findeth me shall slay me." He said, if you're not careful, you make it so people don't want to be around you. You'll be friendless. You'll be fruitless. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. One more time through the song, Mrs. Owens. Play it one more time through. Thank you, Mrs. Owens. Remain standing.